Amen. I love the lyrics on that song, don't you? Just very powerful reminder of the way that God sees us. And I pray that wherever you find yourself in life, wherever you find yourself at the start of a new decade, that that truly would be your experience, that you would know that God loves you as he finds you, and that everything can change from that moment on. Well, welcome to not just the first Sunday of a new year, but the first Sunday of a new decade. Doesn't that seem weird? I remember when I first started ministry, one of the first books I picked up was a book entitled 2020 Vision. And here we are in 2020, the first Sunday of a new year, of a new decade, and we've actually arrived at the place where people told us we would one day be. And it's always fascinating, isn't it, when you kind of look back and say, okay, this is where they said we'd be, so are we really there? Do you know how many weird and wonderful predictions there have been about where we would be right now? So, for example, in a 1966 Time magazine article entitled The Futurists, it was predicted that machines would become so effective that the average American would be, in effect, independently wealthy. It's true. Without lifting a finger, they said, every American, the average American, would be earning $30,000 to $40,000, which today is $300,000, without lifting a finger. Why doesn't your giving reflect that? No, just a joke. Wouldn't that be nice? $300,000 a year without lifting a finger. Well, that hasn't quite happened, has it? Oh, what about this one? A 1950s Popular Mechanics article written by scientist, get this name, Waldemar Kempfert. I was convinced he had to be a German, but he was an American. Obviously European roots. In an article entitled Machines of the Next 50 Years, he said, get this, that by the time we would get here today, that our food would be delivered in the form of frozen bricks. Frozen bricks. In fact, he said, culinary technology would have enhanced to such a point that we would be sending, get this, our old table linens and our rayon underwear to factories, and they would be converted into candy that we would eat. I mean, what kind of title would you give that one? I remember growing up with hedgehog flavored crisps. Now, I ate them, and I'm like, is this what a hedgehog flavored crisp actually tastes like? Is this what a hedgehog tastes like? Can you imagine what a candy made of underpants would taste like? Don't even want to go there, right? But there are just some things that were said about today, about where we'd be, about what would be happening, that is downright funny. Some of it's downright disgusting. Other parts of this downright troubling. So, for example, a lot of predictions actually said that robots would take over a lot of what we do. Well, there's a part of that that's true. How many of us have worked in industries or used to work in an industry where a robot kind of revolutionized the workforce? Yeah, some of that's true. But other parts of that just went too far. So in a book, Shift 2020, Arjen van der Veen, that's a Dutch name, basically, she said that, predicted that robots would get to the point where they would actually be our therapists, they would be our companions, they would be our assistants, they would even be our friends. Well, when I read that, some of that is downright troubling, right? Well, some good old Germans decided to kind of take that into the church industry, and they created a robot. Allow me to introduce you to something called Bless You Too. Sounds like something that someone would say after you've sneezed, right? Gesundheit. But it wasn't about that. You got to picture this robot, okay? It's kind of got a chest that's an ATM, so you would walk up to this thing and you push its chest, and then it would start to speak to you. And then you would basically choose whether you want a male or a female voice. So I kind of push a male voice, right? I push the voice, and then it would ask me the language I want. I push my language, and then these robotic arms lift up on the side and actually pronounce a blessing over the person seeking a blessing. They're even saying robots can actually replace pastors and priests. Should I be worried for my job security, I wonder? But you know, as we think about all of this, the reality is with all of these predictions, some things never change. And what will never change is the fact that God needs his church in the world to do his work. It doesn't matter what year we're in. It doesn't matter what decade we're in. That will always remain true. No robot will ever be able to replace the workforce that is the church of Jesus Christ. That's not going to change. It's still the same. Vipka and I last week, and we were spending some time away, and as we were away, we got to talking about our word for the year. Do you do that? My word last year was target, by the way. Thank God this year is a little bit easier. What's your word for the year? More to the point, what word is God giving to us as a church and as a church family? And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. God, what are you saying? What season are we in? And so what I want to do today is I just want to reveal that word to you. And I want to, in a sense, take us behind the curtains for you to see how this broader vision that we've labeled the stronger, continued with impact, this high vision to really be a church that serves the church community and impacts our nation and the world. I want to peel back the curtains today, and I want to take you behind the scenes, and I want to help you see what I see and what we see as we see this ministry unfolding. And all of this is based on a single idea, that the Church of Jesus Christ exists in the world to wholeheartedly serve Jesus Christ under the full anointing of the Holy Spirit and under the full protection that all of that offers. We are servants. And the word that God impressed on my heart for us as a church is wholehearted service. Continue to serve God with our whole heart, with our whole strength, and within our whole mind. This is the scripture that the Lord took me to. It's a familiar one. If it's Ephesians chapter 6, it's verse 7 and verse 14. Notice the first two words here. Serve wholeheartedly. As if you were serving the Lord, not people. Stand firm then. This is the full protection that God gives us. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As I read that, God impressed on my heart that yet again he was calling his church to wholehearted service under the full protection and with the full anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what God's calling us to walk into. Now the key thing is, what does that mean practically for us? And I know that we're great here at talking about the big picture, but as I say, today what I want to do is just peel the curtain back and introduce you to some of the things that's going on behind the scenes. So if God is calling us to wholehearted service, what does that look like? Well, the first thing that looks like is that it will affect what Steve and I will be teaching on Sunday mornings. We start next week with a sermon series entitled Jesus Is. If you're here around Christmas, you will have heard us talk about that. The reality is, if our life is supposed to be based on a wholehearted service of Jesus, that is impossible unless we understand why this Jesus has the right to command such wholehearted service. Until we understand who Jesus is, we'll never truly understand why it is that he has the right to command our beliefs, our devotion, and our action. We'll follow that in the beginning of February with a series that we're calling Roll Call. Roll Call. This is something that Steve and I have been talking about for quite some time, and we're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at the fivefold ministry there of evangelist, okay, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, what we call the APES. We're going to look at that, and we're going to see how that impacts not only what happens in the church, but also the roles that you have in the very places that God has called you. Why has God wired you the way he has, and how can that be the basis and the foundation for what God is calling you to do. The fivefold ministry is about more than what happens in the church. It's about what happens in the world. And all too often we make this distinction between the church and the world, or between the professional clergy and the people in the pew. And that distinction is not found in the scriptures. There is no distinction in the reality of the roles that God is calling us to do. So you see, the first part of this year is all going to be about equipping us for the very task that God has called us to do. As we journey through Easter into the spring season, we're going to do something that is a little bit different. As we head towards November, we recognize the responsibility to equip our people to think scripturally about some of the issues that are going to be impacting our nation through the summer. If you don't know what's going to happen in November, you soon will. This is not going to be a political series at all. It's going to be a biblical series. And what we want to do is to equip you to be the voice of reason and the voice of wisdom in a nation that, when it comes to conversation, seems to be going nuts. Nothing political about this at all. Is it going to be controversial? Some will think so, but all we want to do is we want to take the Bible and we want to open the Bible and we just want to tackle some of the themes and just point out what Scripture says about some of the issues that are going to be discussed. So you see what we're trying to do here. We're trying to equip ourselves for the very work that God has called us to do. A lot of what you're going to see and feel us doing this year is about what I call going upstream. I really believe that churches have to be more proactive. We need to go upstream and find upstream solutions to downstream problems. If we simply tackle the problem on the ground, we're always reacting to what is going on. What we need to do is to take steps back and actually create a culture that thinks biblically, that thinks scripturally, and acts strategically in every sense. And so what I want to do for the next part is I want to give you a glimpse of what that looks like. Again, we're going to peel back the curtain, and I want to introduce you to just some of the staff we have here. And they're going to start to share with us where this year is going to take us. We're going to look back at 2019, and then we're going to look forward into 2020. So, guys, do you just want to join me on the stage here? Can you welcome them with me, please? These folks are just part of the incredible army. Guys, you can sit wherever you want, really. Yeah, you can sit by me, Nate. These are just five of our staff, but believe me, I could have spent hours up here with so many more. And what I want to do again is peel back the curtains a little bit and go a little bit deeper. You've kind of heard through Impact about where we sense we need to be. Well, let's just peel the curtains back here and have a look at how practically we're going to serve God wholeheartedly in a number of areas of ministry. Now, you may not, I hope you know this guy, and you know that he can teach as well as lead worship, right? Then we have Molly, who oversees Central Missions. Then we have my incredible wife, Fitka. We have Travis over there with guest services, works very closely with me on the Water's Edge network that we have across our nation. And then we have Micah, who works with me on Water's Edge Network Missions, our ministry footprint across the world. So you're going to kind of see what we're going to do here. We're just going to go through this. But Nate, let me start with you. It's pretty obvious to anybody that comes in here that we're blessed with an incredible team of people that God has brought here. I mean, some of the songs that you guys lead us in, you've written yourself, and we do that because we just know that worship is to be a soundtrack of what God is saying to us now. And I just want to encourage and affirm you publicly with that. But as you look back at 2019, mm-hmm. What do you see? What do you feel?
Yeah, So one of the scriptures that's really been burning my heart lately is when the psalmist said, I will praise you among the nations. And when David said that, he meant, I'll praise you among the Gentile nations that don't know God, so that in hopes they would know God. You know, and anytime you see kind of expressive praise and worship where people, where there's a people gathered that are adoring the God of the universe, evangelism happens. People look at that and they say, wow, God is good. We sang it today, God is so good. There's something that happens when we declare that as a people together, and those that don't know him would come in and get to know him. And that's we've seen that happen in this past year, and that's what we want to see going forward, you know. And a few months ago, we did our live recording here. We had our last worship night. Thank you guys so much for supporting that. We had just this room filled with worshipers, and we had just a real multicultural presentation of worship, really. And you guys really jumped in, and more importantly than the room being full of you guys, there was just such a strong sense of God's presence and power. And I just love that that's the night that we recorded our album. So we have, this year, we have an album coming out called Resound. And that's going to be coming out next month in February. And been listening to the tracks and so excited about what we're going to be able to kind of export, you know, to this community and beyond. You know, and speaking of that, Alec Reese is part of our staff, and he's heading up our kind of our network arm of worship arts, and he's connecting with some of the other worship leaders that are in our network. I mean, won't it be awesome? This is kind of a long-term vision, but won't it be awesome that when we release our next album, we're hearing songs from Jakarta, in Indonesia. You know, we're hearing songs from Cambodia. We're hearing songs that are written from the Grand Haven campus, from the San Diego campus. And so that's part of what we want to do is connect with these worship leaders and bring unity. So.
Yeah, Grand Haven campus, we haven't got one there, folks. He means Grand Rapids. You said Grand Haven.
Maybe no, I was prophetically said, I don't know. Yeah, someone called the Grand Haven that.
Yeah, no pressure on that one from that, right? But we're gonna hear a little bit about the impact of things like the worship arts on our other churches in just a moment. But it's really exciting to see what God is building here, and also how the influence of this room, the influence that that's having on other churches, and how God is just using you guys as a team. And I just want to affirm you and thank you for all you do. And it's just going to be great. Look out for that album in February that's coming out. And again, just look around and just realize that what we have on the stage is also being used through technology to actually make sure that we can bless the other worship leaders in other churches, because we have been gifted with an awful lot. Won't you agree? We are blessed. But what we want to do is realize we are blessed to bless, and we try and find as many ways as possible to take what we have been blessed with and give that away. Nate, thanks for doing that. Now, Molly, you serve as Central Missions, and it's been so exciting to see how our church has just embraced our community and what we've been doing. As you look back on 2019, what are some of the, just a few highlights for you?
I think the exciting part for me was seeing how proud our church is of getting involved in this community. And as much as we've done on the missions front, it's been you guys being involved in the community that's been just a huge blessing. So this year we launched two new ministries, one being legal support, where people who cannot afford to get a lawyer are still entitled to justice in our community. And they get to sit down and meet with a lawyer. And we've covered everything from immigration to custody disputes, as well as just personal protection orders for people who are in danger. We also launched a disaster relief ministry where we partner with an organization called Disaster Relief at Work, or DRAW. And they will send our people for free to go and help in communities that have been devastated by natural disasters here in the US. And that's been neat. We sent our first team down to Texas. And we had everybody from professionals to a mom of six kids who went down and helped and got involved and got very, very dirty, but came back very happy to be the hands and feet of Jesus in for people whose lives have been turned upside down. And then I guess the last one would be probably the Christmas store. This year was phenomenal once again. I mean, it always is, but it keeps building every single year. And this year we had over 2,000 gifts that you all brought in. We had about 350 people who were accepted to the store, half of whom have no church affiliation whatsoever. And they came in, and we had about 100 people who said, I want more information about what Central is doing and how I can be involved. and we had 15 people who came to know Jesus for the first time.
And again, these are usually things that we don't often just take time to talk about on a Sunday, right? And so, again, we just want to peel the curtain back here and just take you inside to some of these things. But Molly, as you look forward to 2020, I know you got some big plans. Just share some of those with us.
2020 is going to be a fun year. The first one being, we get the opportunity to build off of years and years of involvement at Jefferson School and the public schools here in Holland. So things like next Saturday, we have our stations of prayer that's been going on there. And so in a time when church and state is a difficult issue to navigate, we have continued to take a position of, we will serve this school. These children are our responsibility. And we are invited to come in. Anybody is welcome if you want to be involved. The teachers are going to be giving us prayer requests. We are going to be walking around the halls of Jefferson, praying for every teacher, praying for every student. And then we also this year asked the teachers to give us service projects to do for them. So we're not only going to be praying, we're going to be serving every teacher and every student in that school next Saturday. And that's just starting what's going to happen in 2020 with our schools. The other thing we're excited about is something that we're calling the Block Party. And it's a partnership with Children's Ministry. And we're going to be putting together a party trailer, really. And it's going to be giving us everything that you would need to have a block party in your neighborhood, to get to know your neighbors, to get to know people, and to share the love of Jesus in a powerful way, one-on-one, and make an impact that way.
Amen. And we'll pick up on that idea in just a few moments when we get to Travis. But again, we've got a lot of things planned in 2020. Keep your ears, you know, open, your eyes open, especially in the printed material, social media. Follow us online if you can, just to know more of the details with regards to some of this. But that's just a snapshot there. Molly, again, thank you for what you do. And it's really great to see how Central is having an impact behind the scenes, working with the very decision makers and making things work. Thanks for leading that. Vibke, you head up Celebrate Recovery. We started that just a few years ago. As you just look back over 2019, what do you see happening?
Yeah, so we praise God for what he's done at Celebrate Recovery, and I think the word I would use is just life transformation, and that could look different in different situations. And for those of you who are not so familiar with Celebrate Recovery, we've just kicked off our fourth year in September, and we probably have an average of over 200 adults, kids, and students that come every week. We don't take a break because recovery doesn't take a break. And a lot of them call Celebrate Recovery their forever family. I love that term because it speaks of the community that we have and that we've built, and just the trust that there is and the safety in the ministry. And I think of the people that come, I would estimate over 50% are not from Central. They're from our community. Many of them are referred from counselors, through the court system, probation officers, from friends. And so as they come primarily for recovery and for change in their lives, for a need that they have, some of them don't have a church background either. And so for me, it's such a privilege that we get to introduce them to Jesus. And just like Nate said in the worship, he is the one that can set us free. He's the one that brings true healing. And so we've seen that over and over in the last year, that people turn their lives over to him and that he becomes the Lord of their lives. And often that's reflected in baptism as well. So that's one part. And then just the heart of God is always for the one. We read in the Bible that he leaves the 99 and follows the one. And that's certainly true in recovery too, because we walk with the one week in and week out. And yet I see that there's more than that, because, for example, if a husband comes to Celebrate Recovery to find freedom from his sexual addiction, that's going to affect his family as well. That's going to affect his marriage. Or if a mom comes to Celebrate Recovery to deal with her anxiety and depression, because Celebrate Recovery is not just for drugs and alcohol, it's for so much more. But that family is going to be impacted as well. Her kids are going to be impacted, her marriage, her whole future. So it's always about the one, but it's always so much more, and we get to see that, and we're just so thankful for that.
Yeah, it's been incredible to see how Celebrate Recovery has been a really good first step for people, not just into the church, but into Christ, and seeing how that community has just helped people grow in their faith to actually become leaders in that ministry. I mean, it really is true that God loves us as he finds us, but his love and his grace never leaves us there. Yeah, and we get to see that week in and week out. So obviously, it's been amazing to see the growth. So what now?
So one of the things that we saw last year, we really felt that God was calling us to be a part of the local jail ministry as well. And we just kind of just took baby steps into it. And as I took baby steps into it, I learned actually that there's a number of central people that already go in there every week. And some of you are in your 80s, 70s, on 80s, and you've done this for years and years. Talk about faithful servants. You're my heroes. But we really felt like we wanted Celebrate Recovery to be intentional about going into the jail ministry as well. And so we've been doing that for the last year, and that's been such a blessing. Again, for me, I didn't even know that was possible. Many of you may not even know that that's possible, that we can go into the jail and just sit there and listen and pray and offer Christ to them. And let me just say, each one of us, you know, just we're one bad decision away from being on the other side of those bars, and so are our children. But it's a blessing that we can, again, be the hands and feet of Christ. And we were just thrilled, just before Thanksgiving, that the jail offered us a weekly Celebrate Recovery class inside the jail, again, week in, week out, and to offer recovery tools. And so if you say, what's your dream for the future, that not just do we do that in the jail, but we point to Celebrate Recovery as a tool of recovery, and bigger picture, point to the church, as many of them see Celebrate Recovery as their forever family, as their safe family, but that Central would embrace them as well. And so that's definitely a dream, that CR is one tool, but there's a much bigger picture, and we all are invited to be a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, that truly is an amazing thing to see. And also how our Celebrate Recovery ministry and the leaders that, you know, that you all took time to develop and now being used to train other leaders as other churches in the area realize what kind of tool this is. And again, these are things that happen behind the scenes. We say it over and over again, right? Kingdom over everything else, that Central is just one church. We're one local expression, but there's only one church. There may be 170 plus local churches in Holland, but there's only one church. And it's just been really great to see how in all of these areas here, we can actually partner with the one church of Jesus Christ to make a definite impact on our nation. And this is just another way that we're starting to work out behind the scenes that vision that we have of impacting the very fabric, the very structures, the decision makers, in a sense, of our town. And we'll continue to do that. Again, Vipka, thank you to you, John, Don, and Brian, and so many other people that lead that ministry. Do a great job. Now, Trav, bring this home for us. A lot of what we're talking about right now has just been organizational, right? We're hearing about God's heart for the one. We're talking about how we step in and bring that home for us.
I'm pretty excited right now, so I'm gonna stand up. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
I was taking communion just a few moments ago with you, and God brought to my mind that Jesus didn't die on the cross for these pews in this building, but he died on the cross for the people in this building, people watching online, the people around the world. And I think that's something big to celebrate, knowing that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this church, and God has a plan for this world. And one of the things we're going to do as we step into 2020 is we are going to become more missionally strategic with relationships as a church, because we believe that there are many people. Statistics say that there's over 50% of people in our own hometown that don't go to church anywhere. We want to be strategically missional to reach more people in 2020 than we've ever reached before. And it's going to take all of us. It's going to take our staff. It's going to take all of you that call this church your home to invite and to invest and bring more people into the community. And so we're going to be talking in the next couple months, Steve and Craig will be talking about this idea of a corner card. The Bible is pretty clear in the book of Mark that we are to go into every corner of our influence to reach people. And so we're going to be doing that in a big and bold way in 2020. And you know, there's a story that I want to share with you. There's been a few of you that have been investing in a young lady. And instead of me sharing it, I actually want to invite Destiny to come up just for a moment. And she wants to just share just a very brief picture of what God's been doing in her life. She just got back from Passion Conference 2020. And hey, everyone, this is Destiny.
Hi, everyone. As Travis said, my name is Destiny. I gave my life to Jesus last month.
Come on.
I did not grow up in a church. I did grow up in a loving Buddhist family. Please be praying for my family as one day they can know Jesus as well. Because of the Holy Spirit and a few special people here at Central, they have invested in me, encouraged me, prayed for me, and invited me here to Central that led me to give my life to Jesus. Next week, I am getting baptized. If you are here and you have not been baptized, I encourage you to sign up today to get baptized with me. Thank you.
Hey. Hey, Destiny, if we could just stay for a moment. This wasn't a part of something we talked about, Ken, but it just, I think it's on my heart. It's on our team's heart. And we want to pray for you and your family in this very moment. We want to pray for the people in our community that we know, that we love, family members, neighbors, people that we drive by in our neighborhood that don't know Jesus yet either. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for Destiny. Lord, thank you for working in and through her life. Lord, thank you for saving her. Lord, thank you for giving her a testimony that she's brave enough to share in front of thousands of people today, God. Lord, I pray for her family right now, Lord. Those that don't know you yet, God, I pray that this will be the year that her family will come to know you. I pray, God, for the many people that we know as well that are far from you, people even watching online right now, maybe some even here in this crowd that don't have a personal relationship with you yet. And so, Lord, I pray that this will be the year, 2020, Lord, that they will see you in a very clear way, in a very big way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, Destiny.
Yeah, this idea of corner cards impacting the very corners, you'll hear more about that in the next few weeks. But again, no robot can replace the ministry of a child of God, of you and me. And we just want to be intentional in the way that we're pursuing relationships with people. And we're going to see more of that over the next few months. Now, Trav, I've got you here. So one of the things that you do is you work with me to try and take what we do here, what we've been blessed with here, and just bless other churches with it, right? And that's how we created this family of churches that we call the Water's Edge Network. That's kind of why we did that. And we've got one goal, really, and it's to serve the church. Trav, just take us through what God is doing and what's happened.
Yes, great. The Water's Edge Network is actually from the Bible. Some of you here are new to our church, and the Water's Edge Network actually comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, where God calls Joshua to take a bold step of faith with Israelite people to cross the Jordan River at flood stage. God says, just trust me, and you'll see what I will do so that the people will know that God is who he says he is. And so we've taken the name Water's Edge serious here at this church. And our network, the Water's Edge Network, is a family of kingdom-minded, missionally motivated churches to reach people around the world. And we're doing that in an amazing way, amazing way. And if I could just take just a couple moments and share with you just three of our churches of what God has been doing here in this world, and specifically in America. The first one I want to talk about is our first campus that we launched, the local church led by Torrin Scott. And this church has been an amazing, amazing movement. And just in 2019 alone, I want to show you some of these statistics. In just 2019 alone, we have seen God move in such a big way. We have seen the local church grow by over 39%. And over 250 people have been engaged missionally in their community. This has produced 32 salvations with 16 baptisms. The stories on the screen are just a small picture. The next church I want to share with you is our Overflow Church. This is in Benton Harbor, led by Brian Bennett. His church has seen 45% growth this year. amazing to see what God has done in just a short time, to be able to see over 450 families impacted by their version of the Christmas store, and to see life change there. 8 salvations, 33 baptisms. Wow, it's been amazing. And then the final church, our newest church in our family, is Captivate Church, led by Pastor Wes Susan. And it's amazing to see what God has done at his church in just a short amount of time. He has seen over 130% growth over 2019, with over 250 students connected in a local high school, what they call their faith club, and over 288 salvations with 38 baptisms since September 2018. God is doing big things in just these 3 churches, and it's exciting that we as a church, the founding church of the Water's Edge Network, we have ability to be able to celebrate and step into what God is doing around this country in a very big way.
Here's what we do. We recognize that the challenge, and I've said this before, we recognize the challenge in a post-Christian, pre-Christian America is actually going to be on those medium-sized churches, those churches of about 150 people. People will talk about the small churches, they talk about the large churches. Just like in politically, socially, we'll talk about the poor, we'll talk about the rich. It's the middle that gets forgotten. We have recognized that there is a way that we can take what God has blessed us with, and through systems and modern systems and processes, just take these systems, there are 6 of them, and bless these churches with it. And what we're discovering is that this is working. This is the fruit of this. You hear us talk about the Water's Edge Network, but just recognize everything you give and invest in Central, we actually try and take and actually give that away. That's essentially what we do, and what we're seeing is God is blessing this. And so the key thing, and this is what I want you to pray about, the key thing in 2020 is, how big does God want this thing to go? Right now, we'll hear about what's happening internationally too, and you'll get a sense of this. Right now, the biggest question we have is, how big does this thing go? If it gets any bigger than this, we're going to need someone to lead it. Who's going to lead that? What's going to happen with this? So would you just join me in praying for this, for wisdom for us, wisdom for our elders? Because we have churches across the country that are interested in our network. We have other churches that are interested in finding out how we do it so that they can transition from being the classic multi-site church where one person is kind of the force of everything and actually trying to discover ways to use what God has given them to bless the church. So please join us in prayer with that. But Micah?
Yeah, what we do at home and across the nation with the network, we do away as well. Many of you might remember last June, we had our international pastors on the stage, and they began to just pray over each other in their own native tongue, and it was a powerful moment. It was the Sunday that we officially welcomed Transformation Church into the network from Kiev, Ukraine, Pastor Peter Marchenko. Now, we have enjoyed a relationship with them for 30 years, I think, and this year they launched their 13th daughter church. 13. And in a largely atheistic country, this year we saw 30 salvations and 20 baptized into the faith through Transformation Church. Unbelievable. This past September, we sent the Water's Edge Network team to assess all facets of Transformation Church. What I love about Central is that we are missionally generous financially, but God's also blessed us with knowledge as it relates to how ministries work. And so we sent a team to assess, and what I've seen from this just across our whole family is that when there is knowledge that is transferable and utilized, it accelerates the impact that a local church can have in their community. And so I truly believe that what God is up to and what we've seen over the past 30 years, and I hesitate to say it, but I think we can see that in 5 to 10 years through what God's doing through the Water's Edge Network. Wouldn't it be amazing if 5 years from now, I'm talking about the 26th daughter church planted by Transformation Church. And so on the last day of this trip, we had a gathering of sorts, and there were leaders and pastors that represented over 40 churches and drug rehab homes. There's another network that we partner with in the Ukraine under CPTI. And we were just sharing and encouraging and inspiring one another, but there were so many Holy Spirit common missional threads that came out. And though we were two different networks that day, we walked away feeling like family. And I believe that we are on the cusp of Water's Edge Ukraine, where Transformation Church is to a network what Central is to the Water's Edge network today. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. I want to tell one quick story because I visited a drug rehab home and one of the leaders was sharing his story. And one day he was just blitzed out of his mind, passed out in the street. Help was called. They took him to the hospital. He was pronounced dead on arrival. They took him to the morgue. And 30 minutes before he was to be prepared for burial, he wakes up. He sits up in the morgue. And his first thought is, I think God wants me to be on this planet for a reason. He checked himself into a drug rehab home, and about 18 months later, he is completely free and now leads that drug rehab home as their pastor. This past year in Cambodia, Phnom Penh, Hope and Life Church launched their third campus, and they are ministering in some of the most impoverished neighborhoods I've ever seen, and I've been in a lot of impoverished neighborhoods. And they have an unbelievable ability to reach young people. One of the ministries that they have is English as a second language, which is growing in popularity all over the world. And parents are wanting their kids to learn English. And so they're reaching tons of kids through that. Sports ministry is another thing that's just huge. Soccer, I don't know if you've heard of it before, but it's big in Cambodia. And this is how they're reaching the young, addicted kids. I'll tell you a story of Pastor Pana's two assistant pastors. They this past summer, we sent them to Poetis's, the ministry that I lead, our missions training school. 3 months later, they come back home. Not only are they 50% more proficient in English over a three-month period, but their greatest testimony was, I am burning for Jesus. That's what they said. I'm burning for Jesus. And because of it, they both enrolled together in Bible school because they want to know God's word more. They are Pastor Pana's two campus pastors, and they come from an incredibly impoverished, broken, and addicted background. They met Pastor Pana through sports ministry. They experienced radical freedom, and now they're his two campus pastors in Phnom Penh. This past year in Cambodia, we saw 66 salvations and 15 baptisms. Pangrango Church is situated in the most intolerant city towards Christians. Pastor Sandy is Sundanese, and he has a heart for his people. There are 32 million Sundanese people in the area. And they are 99.4% Muslim plus animistic practices, which is another way of saying it's the occult. Many who have tried and failed to reach these people not only call them an unreached people group, they call them an unreachable people group. And so if I tell you that this past year, 67 Sundanese accepted Jesus and 16 were baptized, I completely disagree with that notion. Because of the opposition, Pastor Sandy over the last decade has been moved 7 times Their church has been moved locations 7 times.
And by move, Mike, you actually mean that they were forced to move.
Forced.
Their growth yeah. was a threat, and they forced them to move.
Yeah, they were forced to move. And so late October, early November, Pastor Craig and I traveled because to Indonesia because there was a half-acre plot that became available 900 yards from their current rental facility. And Pastor Craig looked at me and said, I want this. I want this for Pangrango Church. And I said, do you know what you're asking? He said, get it done. I said, okay, whatever you say, Chief. Well, in order for that to happen, if you want to do anything other than religious activities, you have to register a foundation. Now, folks, I've seen this take months and even years in countries, especially Muslim countries. And so I got to work with our local contact on the ground who carries a big whip, talked about all the things that we needed to do. And 3 weeks later, Pastor Craig, Pastor Corey, and myself were on a plane to make it official that now exists Water's Edge, Indonesia. That's miraculous. And so we're going to be purchasing a property. We're going to be building a mission center that is going to be structured to holistically make an impact in their community. And you're probably asking a very logistical question. How in the world are we going to pay for this? Thanks for asking that question. Pastor Craig, how in the world are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, we're going to wrap up with this, but hopefully you're going to get a feel. I'm going to answer that question. Hopefully you're getting a feel for what's happening on the ground, in the dirt. And hopefully you're getting a feel for some of our staff, what we're involved in, what we're doing. The phrase I will often use is, guys, I don't want us to treat downstream solutions. I want us to go upstream and find upstream solutions. Because if we can tackle the heart of the thing and get the foundation right, then we can affect everything that flows. And that's why this foundation in Indonesia and Pandurango for Pandurango is so important. But how do we do this? Look, the reality is, and we'll share more about year-end. Year-end has been phenomenal. Thank you all for your generosity. But a lot of these investments like this, they need over and above giving. And about a year ago, as we were praying through the end of Stronger and Impact and what is that next phase, you remember in September we came back and said, hey guys, we sense God calling us we need another $3.6 million over the next 3 years. And originally that number was much higher. And as I went away, I was actually in Indonesia at the time. And when I go away like that for a couple of days, I just use it as a retreat and I just spend time with God. There's nobody around, there's nothing. And as I'm there, I had a much higher number for impact. And as I'm praying through this, God told me to take that number out that was for things like this. And it was a significant number. And I'm like, God, no, that can't be from you. Because I can't be the type of pastor who invests all of the money in buildings. Anybody with me? Can't do that. Craig, take it out. I'm like, God, I can't do that. Mission is what drives the church. It's what we're about. If we prioritize the mission of Christ, God takes care of the church. God, I can't do that. And he was like, Craig, take it out and trust me. So I took the number out of the proposals and that I was praying over. I'd already submitted them to Pastor Mike and Lynn and talked to a couple of the elders about it and came back and they saw that the proposal I came back with, and I told them I was going to pray about this, was lower than the proposal I went with. And they were like, what happened? What happened to this number? Because they know me. They know where my heart is. They know how my heart beats. And I'm like, guys, all I can tell you is God told me to take the number out and trust him. A week later, Pastor Lynn calls me and says, Craig, can you come into my office? And I went into his office, and there was someone there who basically told us, now get this, please, okay? That someone who does not and did not attend Central had died and had a heart for missions and looked for a church, for a vehicle in which they could invest, that they could trust them to do the right thing with their money, and they chose Central. And so what happened was the single largest donation that Central has ever received in our history was made by someone who doesn't attend this, didn't attend this church. Hard to attend when you're dead, right? But and that amount was four times the amount that I'd originally put in for this thing. Now, whenever I share information like this, Pastor Lynn sinks into his chair because he's like, oh no, they're gonna think we'll wash the money and now nobody's gonna give. Right. That's not the case. This was a restricted gift for missions overseas and new projects. Right? New projects, not existing projects. In other words, our current giving towards missions, our current giving is actually essential for us to continue to do what we've just done. But folks, what that told me is simply this: God's got this. And God's using people that I've never known, that I will never ever meet, in places I will never ever be, to expand his kingdom. Right? That is the kingdom. That is the kingdom right there. The kingdom of God actually advances in ways that we would never know through people that we will never meet. And what we try and do at Central is to tap into that and say, okay, God, here we are. This is what we've got. We give it all back to you. You use it as we try and serve other people. And what we've done over the course of this morning is just try to share that with you and say, guys, 2019 was incredible. When we started this, Central was around 2,700 people, and it sounds like numbers. Now, through what we're doing, we're reaching thousands more than that every week. But it doesn't seem real to us because we don't see it. But guys, what does Jesus say? Faith is not based on what you see. Faith is based on what we know. And I'm telling you what, I hope that you've got a glimpse of what God is doing through this ministry. If 2019 was good, 2020 is going to be great. And my encouragement to you, all of you, is have a look at what God has given you. Have a look at how God has wired you. And in 2020, just say, God, how do we serve you? How do I serve you with all of my heart? Exactly where you've placed me, using exactly what you've given me. And I believe that when you do that, you will be amazed at what God can do. Would you stand with me? Can we just close our time in prayer? Oh God, you are an incredible God. We know that. You are a good God. We know that. But God, just seeing your goodness on display over the last year, your grace transforming lives, has been an incredible privilege. And God, as leaders on the stage here, people you've entrusted to lead aspects of our ministry, we look out on this congregation and we just say thank you for them. Thank you for the way they invest their time, their talents, and their treasures into this ministry that made it possible for people that we, and that many of them will never ever meet, in places they will never ever go, to actually receive what they need to do what you've called them to do. God, I thank you for this church. And God, our prayer is that in 2020, you would just take us, that you would make us aware of what we've been blessed with, and that you would anoint that as we just give it back to you and say, here I am. Use me to extend your kingdom. God, won't you give us the privilege of just experiencing that in our lifetime over the next year? God, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.